This is Rental Property News. I'm Heather Anderson. Let's get started on our top story. This story comes from Lewis House. He is a 3-times New York Times bestseller, author, and former pro athlete, top 100 global podcast. Congratulations, Lewis. He's interviewing somebody named Jaspreet Singh, explaining how to become financially independent, even if you're only making $50,000 a year. Let's take a listen.
Making between $50,000 and $100,000 right now, 2024, what should they be thinking about in terms of building wealth? What's a couple of steps or a system they can put in place if they have zero financial education, if they have, they don't even have the right beliefs, but they could start setting themselves up for 5, 10, 20 years in the future where they're going to say, wow, I'm so glad I made those few steps that Jaspreet told me to do back in the day. What would those steps be?
Well, the first thing is understanding that even if you're making $50,000 a year, you can retire a millionaire and live a life of financial freedom if you start taking action. Now, the thing that everybody likes to talk about, I'll give the end goal and then I'll show how to actually do it. Because everybody says if you invest $100 a month from age 21 to 65, you'll have over $1 million when it comes time for you to retire. Okay, how, where, when, and you know, what do I do? So number one, understanding the numbers, the math will show you that you can become a millionaire. Now you got to dissect the how do I actually go about doing it? Because everybody says invest your money, but what does that mean? So,
and where do I invest it? The stock market, individual stocks, funds, real estate funds, apartments, you know, it's crypto, gold. Like, what am I supposed to do?
So you start by not spending all of your money. A simple thing that I talked about is my 75-15-10 plan, which means for every dollar that I earn, 75 cents is the maximum that I can spend. 15 cents is the minimum I'm putting aside to invest. 10 cents is the minimum I'm putting aside to save. Now, the first thing everybody says when I say that is, Jaspreet, how in the world am I going to live off of 3/4 of every dollar that I earn? I'm already struggling to survive. Well, you got to make this decision right now, which is what's more important to you right now? Do you want to build your future wealth or do you want to continue having the nice things? Then everybody says, Jaspreet, I'm already living tight. Like, what do you mean? I'm already living paycheck to paycheck. Things are already tough. Well, all I can do is give you the reality. And the reality is it's going to be harder next year. It's going to be even more difficult the year after that. And it's going to get even more difficult the year after that. The path to building wealth is not that complicated. You have to have some money. You have to put this money aside for investments. If you're spending all of your money, you're never going to build wealth. And now you got to figure out what are you going to cut out.
But Jaspreet, I've got my parents who need support. I've got family members who are struggling. I've got my friends that want to go out on the bars 3 times a week and concerts and activities. And I got to buy nice clothes for my job. And I've got to commute to work. And I've got to do all these things that cost a lot of money.
Yep.
Jaspreet, what do I do?
Where you put your focus, you're going to see the biggest results. If you want to lose weight, you got to put your exercise and your focus in the gym. You got to put your focus on your diet. If you want to advance in your career, you got to put more focus on your job and learning how to advance in your career. If you want to build more wealth, you got to put your focus on learning how to do that and changing the way you spend your money.
Well, looks like Jaspreet brings very fundamental ideologies to basic wealth creation. If you are a first generation to be millionaire, then almost certainly these financial fundamental principles will apply. Let's take a look at the comments. Lewis Howes does have a new book out, it seems. Make Money Easy, if you want to check that out. And one comment down from Varun, he says, $1 million doesn't buy you much today. Tomorrow, it won't buy you diapers. Let's talk about at least a $10 million. It's a good point, Varun. I understand where you're coming from. However, why don't we get to your first million and then we'll talk about 10 million? Because you have to get to one before you get to 10. And I find when I hear comments like that, it typically means people are quite a ways away from 1 million. So start with your first million and go from there. And Jaspreet has great principles to teach you how to do it. Now, the question, though, would be, and maybe Varun has a point here, would $1 million buy you commercial real estate, That's what we're going to be talking about. Let's hop into our next story from a company called Deloitte. You might have heard of them. Next generation leaders may accelerate real estate investment in alternative properties is the headline of their article. It says U.S. commercial real estate investing opportunities favored core property sectors for decades, but recent market forces and new leadership could knock down long established pillars. Traditionally, commercial real estate owners and investors build portfolios of properties by selecting a wide array of high quality assets defined within four core property types: office, industrial, retail, and apartment. A diversified portfolio of these core assets provided consistent income for rental growth, sustained value appreciation, minimal variability performance. This approach was generally enough to meet investor objectives and even outperform other financial assets like equities or stocks or treasuries when adjusting for risk. But they're saying, hold the boat. Not anymore. The emergence of alternative property sectors has begun to topple long-established pillars for CRE, commercial real estate portfolio construction. At the same time, more of the industry's top decision makers are approaching retirement, challenging the next generation of leaders to adapt conventional strategies. But over the next decade, fundamental shifts in real estate investment could occur from the emergence of niche property types, coupled with next generation leaders accelerating non-traditional portfolio construction decisions. The Deloitte Center for Financial Services predicts that by 2034, it's in about 9 years, the value of alternative properties will grow at least 15% compound annual growth rate to account for nearly 70% of industrial values. Well, first of all, let's take a look at who is Deloitte. It's a multinational professional service network and one of the big four accounting firms. It provides audit and consulting, financial advisory, risk management, and tax services. It's a global network for member firms that work with a wide range of clients, including many of the world's largest companies. They do audits, they do consulting, financial advisory, risk advisory, and tax. So they work for many of the world's largest companies. Are you one of the many world's largest companies? Or are you a normal person like me? What does a normal person like me do with this information? Well, let's get back to that question and let's discern who more Deloitte Center for Financial Services is and does. The Deloitte Center for Financial Services provides timely insights on the most pressing issues facing the industry, helping keep your organization a step ahead. And if you dive a little deeper, it looks like they have different sectors: banking and capital markets, commercial real estate, insurance, investment management. About Deloitte Center for Financial Services, it says, which it supports the organization's U.S. financial services practice, provides insight and research to assist senior level decision makers within banks, capital markets firms, investment managers, insurance carriers, real estate organizations. The center is staffed by a group of professionals with a wide array of in-depth industry experience as well as cutting-edge research and analytical skills. Through our records, roundtables, and other forms of engagement, we seek to be a trusted source for relevant, timely, and reliable insights. And here is the current team, I suppose, or some of the research team. So, if they are talking to senior level managers, you might want to discern what information you want to abstract from this and what you don't. Sometimes as an investor, if you're a big company investor with a lot of money that isn't your own, sometimes your objective is to find the thing that makes the most money. But if you're a normal person like me, and you don't have a hedge fund or a water fund or a pension fund or a REIT or a syndication or a huge money raise, and you're more like the person that Jaspreet was speaking to, the $50,000 a year person, then maybe it's not about what makes the most money. Maybe it's about what drives you. Because either way, no matter way you slice it and you dice it, any kind of real estate investment is a long play for the most part, unless you flip. But any hold strategy is always going to be a long-term thing, several years. So liking it has a value because quality of life has a value. And if you like something, then you do it and you pursue it and you stay motivated. If you don't, you don't. So Deloitte is saying the shift toward alternatives is already underway. Alternative property types include data centers, cell towers, life sciences laboratories, healthcare buildings, self-storage facilities, single family rentals, senior housing, and student housing, among others. And some real estate leaders are pushing to realign their long-held portfolio construction proclivities. So where are you on this one wild and precious life journey, my dear friend? Because maybe you have that kind of money that this article is speaking to. Maybe you are a CEO of a large entity or an entity that has money to move, or maybe you're not. So we've talked about REITs here on Rental Property News before, but Deloitte in this article is saying public real estate investment trust REITs have spearheaded the adoption of alternatives, enabling access to a wide range of real estate assets while the private real estate market has approached allocations with more caution. REITs have increased their allocations to alternatives in the public markets from 26% in 2000 to more than 50% in 2024. Meanwhile, following the pandemic, the original NCR EIF Fund Index Open End Diversified Core Equity ODCE, an index of 25 private funds, responded to the growing demand for some alternative types by adding these asset classes to the index. But the core property types still make up more than 90% of the total value. So what is the Open End Diversified Core Equity NCREIF Fund Index? What does that mean? Let's take a look, because you might be a REIT person. Maybe you realize owning the individual assets not for you for a variety of reasons, or maybe your version one is just to hold REITs, a real estate investment trust. But you can, I just found the NCREIF website here, and it's a .org. Okay, so it looks like it's a 501c3. The NFI ODCE is a specialization weighted gross of free time-weighted return index with inception date of December 31st, 1977. So this is a fund that's been around a long time. Now, the question I had was, can you buy this thing? And I did a quick Google search. It says it's not possible to directly buy this index, as it is an index. It's not an investment product. However, you can invest in funds that aim to track the performance of the NFI ODCE index. That sounds something like you can't buy the S&P 500, but you can buy the S&P 500 fund that tracks, that tries to mimic and track the whole of the S&P, the index fund, not the index itself. So maybe that's similar to that. So who wrote this article that we're reading about Deloitte? Well, it had three authors. And what do? Nathan, Florio, Mark, and Tim. I took a look at just the top one here, Nathan. And Nate is quite impressive, this young man. He has been with Deloitte since 2000, 24 years. And he's the principal in the Deloitte Advisory Real Estate Practice. He is a Deloitte Advisory Growth Leader and ESG Leader for the real estate industry. He leads a real estate consulting practice specializing in real estate valuation, real estate financial advisory, real estate asset portfolio, mergers and acquisitions, and lease advisory services, and real estate engineering and depreciation services. So it's important to discern of what information you want to take from this Deloitte article and what information you want to leave on the table. Okay. It's important to know who writing the article, what their audience is, and what information you can discern from it that you can use as you grow in your investment strategy. Continuing on with our multifamily discussion and commercial real estate discussion, let us go into this little sector from multihousingnews.com. It says, at a volatile time, multifamily's outlook stays steady. Okay, experts share insights on the industry's prospects during an MHN Voices mid-year webinar. So sometimes I wonder, are the panelists from Multi-Housing News, are they positive about the multifamily housing outlook because they are at a multifamily housing webinar? I don't know. Do you? Does anyone? What's the narrative? Let's take a look to see if we can discern some of those questions. So it says, a wave of new supply mixed with robust net absorption bolsters the sector, even with expected construction slowdowns and only a moderate rent increases. According to data from the Yardie Matrix, new unit completions reached a peak of 615,000 units last year and are expected to gradually decrease by 43% in 2027. So that is the estimated projection. And what is Yardie Matrix? Yardie Matrix is a industry comprehensive market intelligence tools, what they call it, for investment professionals, equity investors, lenders, and property managers who underwrite and manage investments in multifamily, student housing, industrial, office, and self-storage property types. We provide nationwide market and institutional research reports that leverage property level details of multifamily properties. Yardie Matrix also uses data in the Yardie Property Management System stack to create aggregated and anonymized operating expense, revenue, and operational metric data that improves underwriting analytics and competitive benchmarking. They've been around, looks like, since initiating the Phoenix service, initiating Phoenix services in February of 2001, right a few months before September 11th of 2001. The company now has a presence in 181 states. So Yardie Matrix is a leader in data in multifamily apartments. So that's who did this report. So we can go down here to some of the other points. Where was it? Okay, another factor in occupancy is interest rates, which have discouraged some would-be at-home buyers and added a solid demographic group to the renter pool, meaning if people aren't going to buy a home, they're going to have to rent. People who may want to buy a home and are economically stable are instead deciding to rent because interest rates are so high, meaning they could maybe rent for less than they can buy. These indicators are also delaying current multifamily residents' decisions to search for apartments. One thing has allowed supply to be absorbed is reduced turnover and the availability of units. Consumers have their hands in their pockets right now, and when consumers are scared, they don't move. Do you agree with that? What do you think? Because as we move on to our next article by the same company, multihousingnews.com, multifamily report for April of 2025. It says the U.S. occupancy rate has clocked in at its lowest level in more than a decade, according to Yardie Matrix. But doesn't that last statement just sound a little contradictory? Because if renters aren't moving and they're not buying, that means more people are renting. And wouldn't the increase in renters increase rent amounts? Usually that's the case, supply and demand, simple economics. However, that is a difference of what that last statement read. The U.S. multifamily market continued to exhibit moderate growth at the start of the second quarter in 2025, according to Yardie Matrix's latest survey of 140 markets, sustained by a combination of a robust labor market and a weak home sales market. The average advertised asking rate increased by $5 to $1,736 in April for a 0.9% year-over-year growth. The national occupancy rate has stabilized. Property slid to 94.4% in March, the lowest level in more than a decade, but 90 5% is still pretty high occupancy. Meanwhile, the single family build to rent advertised asking rates rose $5 to $21.78 in April, and the occupancy rate fell 0.6% year over year, 94.8% in March. So if we look at this graph here, you can see that it says year over year rent growth, all asset classes. It's a little hard to read, sure, but you can see here's kind of where it starts to go negative. This city is Miami. And these cities to the right show decline in rent growth. So basically rent loss year over year. Okay, so when you look at this graph independently, you kind of think, oh, well, it's probably not a good idea to buy rentals or multifamily in these markets. And by the way, my market, Dallas, is on there. It's this one right here. You have Austin also pretty precipitously negative. That's negative 5%. You have Raleigh, you have Atlanta, you have Charleston, you have Houston, three major markets in Texas. But every other report you read said Texas is the place to buy. You have Las Vegas, you even have Nashville, you have Phoenix, you have Orlando and Denver. Let's keep that remembered for a minute, and then let's move on to our next story. We have iPropertyManagement.com is giving a quick report here of the average rent by year. Okay, it's saying the average monthly rent in the U.S. in 2024 was $1,535, up 5.11% year over year. That's an average for the U.S. If the trend continues, the average renter will pay $19,801. It's okay. That's not per month, thank God. But that work, that's per year. So $1,650 a month is what that equals to. Where are you on that average? Are you above that average or below that average if you are renting, or even if you're owning, but specifically renters? If you'll notice here, this comment says 2023 had the largest year-over-year average rent increase, 8.85% since 1921. That was about 100 years ago, about 100 years ago. And remember, to better understand the future, we must first learn from the past. We can see the average rents from in 2025 year over year all the way to the year 2000. So average rent in the year 2000 was $639, and now it's $1,650, so up $1,000 per month. Pretty precipitous. And you can see the power of compounding interest, which we've discussed on another episode of Rental Property News before, and just see how compounding interest, 3%, 3.63%, 4.45%, 3.93% per year gets $1,000 increase per month in 25 years. It feels pretty significant to me. Does it to you? In 1920, the average rent increased by a record 18.83%. In 1933, which was after the Great Depression of 1929, saw the largest year-over-year decline in average rent, negative 13%. Here is a graph showing rent was $27 on average in 1940 up to $15.39 in 2025. So if you look at this large graph, does it look like the grid is just going up and to the right? It sure does to me. So when we read these articles that say contrarian views or things such as that, you have to remember the big picture. Real estate always goes up. And if we check out our friends again at multihousingnews.com, multifamily investors, is this the time to buy after a strong start of 2025 volatility and a possible recession? Our wild cards, early trends this year bore out that expectation. In the first quarter, multifamily investment sales jumped 33% year over year to $28.8 billion. So if rents are falling in some markets, but sales are going up, is that a buyer's opportunity? Is that an investor's opportunity? Where are you on that side of the spectrum? There's uncertainty out there that's impacting volume, but at this point, it doesn't seem to be impacting price. That's from Bill Hill, CEO of Mid-America Apartment Communities. And we have Amy Carbons down here saying, hey, maybe there's a slight resistance of inbound foreign investments who tend to be more cautious generally, but everyone else, family offices, life companies, pension funds, everyone wants to invest, but has a similar constraints in that they just can't blindly invest without regard for cap rates. So nevertheless, the current climate has been affected by so far by anything like the interest rate volatility of 2022. That means investment volume will continue to rise, if not surge, in no small part to the strength sector's fundamentals. She said, hey, if you put a deal on a contract and 60 days later, treasuries are 75 basis points different, that kind of makes things a little challenging. But the multifamily sector continues to benefit from steady household formation and the ongoing affordability challenges in the home sale market. During the first quarter, nearly 102,000 units were absorbed nationwide, a 12% year-over-year increase, according to Cushman and Wakefield. That also compares favorably to the pre-pandemic average of 73,000 net move-ins per quarter. So even in flat or buyer's markets, things are still moving and shaking. Let's check out InvestCorp weighs in on this. This is a conversation we're having. InvestCorp completes the series of multifamily sales totaling $550 million. So in the wake of, oh no, speculation, what's going to happen in the future, what we can know for sure is that they made a sale. InvestCorp, a leading global alternative investment firm today, announced that it has completed the sale of 12 multifamily assets across five states, including the full liquidation of a multifamily portfolio. At an aggregate price of $550 million, half a billion, despite a tempered multifamily market, InvestCorp was able to exit in assets at a premium, reflecting the strength of the underlying properties, as well as the firm's ability to deftly navigate challenging investment environments. The dispositions were executed in a series of transactions beginning in May 2024. So over almost a year, actually exactly a year, And looks like the buyer's stuck and the deal's closed. And where were these deals? So the assets are 94% occupied on average and are situated in desirable rental markets, including Atlanta, Philadelphia, Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Louis, Missouri, as well as Tampa and Orlando in Florida. But wait, I thought we read the year-over-year rents were declining in a lot of those markets. Atlanta is right here. Orlando is right here. Charlotte is right there. I don't think that city was part of it, but that's in this city in the state. Miami is right there. So if those sold, but those are in declining markets, and how could they sell? Well, because remember, no matter what happens in real estate, the chart always goes up and to the right when it comes to increased rent and demand, because people will always need a place to live and there will always be renters in every economy, just like there was in 1940 and just like there will be in 2025 and just like there was in 1920 and there will be in 2125, even when people are living in the metaverse and on the moon and on Mars. People will always need a place to live, and longitude and latitude are non-replicable. One property on one place on earth forever and always, and you can own it if that is the pathway you choose to go in. There will always be a demand for homeownership and people to live in rentals. So someone else that believes this is Barbara Corcoran. And she's selling her huge Manhattan beautiful home in this flat slash buyer's market or whatever it is. Time will tell what it would be called after we're said and done. But she is one of the leaders in real estate, and she's still making moves as a seller in this market. Let's take a look at her apartment and her story. You are going to be wowed. It is beautiful. This is done by Caleb Simpson, who has an Instagram where he goes and looks at people's houses. And he had a disclaimer here, which was so sweet. And he said, I'm not being compensated for this video. Barbara took a chance on me a few years ago, asking me to come tour her home when I first started this series. That video was the tipping point for my life. Wow. That is a big deal. Talk about storing up treasures in heaven. Wow, what a gift Barbara gave this young man. I'll always be grateful for that collaboration and pick up the phone whenever she calls. She's literally showed me and you all of our homes. Kind of wild. Yes, it is, Caleb. The American dream is alive and well, friends. And look at Caleb's beautiful testimony. And look at Barbara's beautiful testimony with her $12 million New York City apartment.
How are you?
Caleb, what are you doing here?
I wanted to see your apartment.
You can see my apartment. I'm selling it. It's about $12 million. You want to see it? Maybe you'll buy it.
Oh, that's sad. You love that place.
It is sad, you know? You probably don't even recognize it when you were here from last time, right? I've staged it. None of this stuff is my own.
Oh, my God. The crown jewel of the apartment.
Yes.
This is insane.
Terrace is the crown jewel, really. Last time you loved my suite, I had a suite here.
Yeah.
I missed so much.
I think I could live here and be happy.
I think you could too.
Yeah, how many years did you live
here? 7 years. Yeah.
7 years in this apartment. Wow.
I thought I would never ever move. But my husband's older and we can't do the stairs anymore, so I really need something simple. Yeah, this kitchen was originally who I bought it from. It was a bathroom.
And what's it like when it rains in here? It's gotta be so beautiful.
It's great because you hear the rain and it doesn't even feel like it's cloudy out. It's always bright here. I feel like I'm selling, but that's really the truth.
You're Barbara Corcoran. You're always selling.
Of course.
And look at this archway coming out.
It's great, right?
So beautiful. Gosh.
I love my garden.
Oh, okay.
Shoot haircuts. Looked here last night. I sleep here a lot of nights when it's good out. I one time got rained out of my deep sleep. I get rid of the big pillow. I push it aside. This is a better pillow. I tuck myself really tight.
Okay. I sleep like this.
Aw, how cuddly. You're going to get yourself a girlfriend looking that way. I almost feel like jumping in with you, but I think I'm too old.
Nobody can ever build there, you know? Just think about that. This is the only room that didn't improve.
This is cool wallpaper.
It's a little feminine, I guess.
First, let's say...
I think we saw everything. We did a full circle.
Oh, we did a full circle. Okay, I'm getting confused.
I don't know where I am.
You know, you're really popping against all the white walls right now with your pajamas.
Well, you look at it now. I got more furniture than you could shake a stick at.
Because this looks like a good nook to just read a book.
Do you read books?
I read, but only in bed at night and I fall asleep. But it takes me forever to read a book. A lot of people read during the day. I don't get it. I don't know how they find the time. Wait till I show you my bedroom.
Oh, here's your famous bathroom. Two baths a day.
Epsom salt, three cups in there. Makes my bones feel good. What I put in my bathroom is with lavender. Three drops. Pampa. Getting out of this bathroom is getting harder and harder for me. But look at, they staged all this. I sit at night and I look through things. I really want a family to live here that loves it as much as me. And that has nothing to do with value or who makes a bid. And I'm nervous waiting for a bid. In an apartment that's mine with somebody else's stuff in here. Just feels weird, you know?
Yeah.
So where my bedroom would be, right by the terrace. I could walk outside, just have a cup of coffee.
Hey, Barbara Corcoran.
I don't know about you, but that's one of the most beautiful, beautiful views and breakfast nooks I've ever seen. So congratulations on the American dream to you, Barbara, and to you, Caleb. I believe your buyer is absolutely out there. And as you can see, rent in New York City is the number one increase year over year. So Barbara Corcoran, you probably know about her, but just in case, she's the founder of the Corcoran Group, Shark Tank. Shark and executive producer of ABC's Shark Tank. She has turned lemons into lemonade. If you're ever in the New York area, check out her firm, Corcoran.com. If you go down here to About Us, you can see Barbara's story from all the way back from 1973 when she's a self-described D student named Barbara Corcoran, just 23 years old, founds an eponymous residential real estate company in a tiny office in the Upper East Side of Manhattan with 7 eager agents and $1,000 loan. And just 1991, a few decades later. Looks like she made her cell of the century and continued to grow her career for the decades to come. My child, my dear, sweet listener, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? Will you have a timeline and a story that looks similar to this? You have so much capability within you. And in order to prepare for the future, we must first learn from the past. So on this day in 1985, Bruce Springsteen belts out Born in the USA as he kicks off his 1985 US tour in Washington, D.C. In 1985, median home prices in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, according to the census for the U.S. government, says 1980 median home prices were $68,800, and they jumped all the way up to $123,900. So they basically, well, they didn't quite double, but they definitely increased. Double would be about $136,000. Thank you. So a little less than 100% gain in a decade, but there's somewhere between that and today they're worth $655,000 for the median home price. Wow. It's pretty significant. That was about 10x from 1980, basically my lifetime to today. 45 years later, they've increased 600%. Don't you wish you'd bought a few in Washington, D.C.? I know I do. Remember, friends, if you like what we're doing here, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Will you be the 57th subscriber for this rental property news journey? Or would you like to give your treasure or your talent? Click on schedule a consult to reach out to us to see how we can help you build your rental property portfolio in the DFW area, or connect you with someone who can in another part of our beautiful, beautiful country.